It's 7:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Morno with KRWG News. 5G technology makes data networks between 5 and 200 times faster, and cities are battling state and federal governments over what they call a corporate giveaway, allowing towers on public right-of-ways. As Texas Public Radio's Paul Flav reports, Texas is at the center of the controversy because the state limited local rights, just as the federal government is trying to do.
The next generation of cellular networks is really fast. But 5G also requires a lot more cellular nodes. The business-friendly Texas legislature, looking to facilitate the quick rollout of the technology, limited many local government powers to regulate who puts the new small cell nodes where, as well as capping the amount that can be charged to access city-owned right-of-ways and poles. The Texas Municipal League's Scott Houston says they sued the state, arguing it's unconstitutional and will cost cities.
As they began the rollout of 5G and more of these nodes were going to be put up, it was going to eventually start costing city taxpayers over $800 million a year in lost right-of-way rental revenue.
The lawsuit's ongoing and has since been overshadowed by another challenger, the Federal Communications Commission. The FCC, using Texas as a template, changed the rules to reflect the same right-of-way caps and limitations. Local governments across the country are now suing the feds. Jerry Lederer is representing cities and says in some cases they can't even recoup the amount of money it costs to process the applications. Rather than spurring innovation, the rules, he argues, now build barriers for new companies to enter as established telecoms take over the best and densest parts of downtown.
It's a land grab. You know, I mean, it's people trying to go out and grab as much property as you can at the lowest possible prices. And again, if it's a subsidized price, you'll grab more than you need, right?
Lederer will argue in front of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals February 10th. I'm Paul Flav in San Antonio.
Let's go now to a local viewpoint. Words matter. And commentator Algernon DeMassa is none too pleased about the words that are often used in political coverage.
Election year has arrived, and while I do not bother much with New Year resolutions, I will renew my pledge to avoid describing election campaigns as races, unless the candidates are facing off in a contest of athletic skill. The winner of a race, you see, does not need a mandate from the people in the stands. You may have a favorite runner on the track, but the result is not up to you. Portraying elections as races relegates voters to the role of spectators. The focus of political coverage lingers on money and advertising, the number of donors, who has backing from the wealthy, and all of that presumes the outcome is determined once an investor class and television commentators advise you who is viable. Thus, voters get less information than they deserve, and their role in representative democracy gets short shrift. Efforts to stymie voter registration and make voting more difficult are often covered as routine partisan disputes rather than as attacks on marginalized people and attempts to game elections. Story after story rates candidates' likability and tries to confine serious consideration to the two dominant political parties and, within that set, to candidates who appeal to an ideological center to broaden their appeal. This is a system that constrains imagination and elevates mediocrity. Alternative parties, and even primary challengers in the regular parties, are vilified for introducing competing ideas as if running for office were an attack on democracy rather than its realization. If we portrayed elections as trials rather than races, in which platforms and leadership qualities were compared and debated for voters to decide, campaigns and news coverage would have to change. As the Pew Research Center has reported many times, the demographic with the greatest influence over the 2016 election of Donald Trump was non-voters. Tens of millions of registered voters did not cast a ballot in the 2016 presidential election, Pew reported. Yet editorial boards and pundits demonstrate little interest in this demographic. And the two parties are content to play tug-of-war with a few voters in the middle rather than engage masses of alienated citizens. Meanwhile, multiple studies have shown that the best investments campaigns can make, as far as turning out voters, are in high-quality field campaigns, having unscripted personal conversations with voters, door by door. These contacts appear to turn people into habitual voters as well, but that's not what enriches campaign consultants. If the legitimacy of representative democracy were a value, if this were really about you, the present state of affairs would be intolerable. As it stands, the professionalization of politics and most of its news coverage amounts to voter suppression. With the weekly Desert Sage Commentary, I'm Algernon Damassa.
Algernon Damassa's columns appear in the Las Cruces Sun News. Damassa's opinions are his own and do not necessarily represent the views of KRWG or NMSU.